If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Oh, yes. There are the horns. That means it's time for the next Pats podcast. Welcome in. I'm Phil Perry. A really fun episode for you today because we're talking to our guy, Rob Ninkovich, two-time Super Bowl champion, to give us the state of the Patriots pass rush. Now, why is that important? Well, because the Patriots weren't able to add anyone at the trade deadline when I think a lot of us thought that they may try to add some help to their secondary, whether it was a boundary corner, a slot corner, Jonathan Jones out for the season, Stephon Gilmore, obviously in Carolina, and the Patriots will see him this weekend, but the Patriots are thin in the secondary, specifically at corner. There were a few corners available on the market. A couple of those guys, relatively expensive. The Patriots, as well as a lot of other teams, didn't have a whole lot in the way of cap space, made it hard for deals to get made across the league, New England included. And I wonder if the Patriots won't look back at that deadline and say, oh boy, should we have pushed a little bit harder to add a little bit more talent in the secondary, specifically to maybe help out with that number two spot opposite J.C. Jackson. Let's give you the Jalen Mills Pro Football Focus snaps thus far through 2021. They have him graded as the 67th corner out of 90 this year with at least 150 snaps in coverage through week eight. He's allowing 12.2 yards per catch. He's allowing a rating of 124.6. He's 28th in missed tackle percentage. He's 48th in snaps per target. So teams looking his way, and he's tied for second in the NFL with four touchdowns allowed in coverage and 35 targets this year. He has two pass breakups and no interceptions. Just by comparison, a couple of his teammates, J.C. Jackson's been targeted 55 times. He has five pass breakups and three picks. Miles Bryant on eight targets has one pass breakup. So he has half Jalen Mills' number of pass breakups on about one-fourth of the targets. So I think they just could have used another capable body on the outside. You aren't getting a superstar at the deadline. Could you have figured it out with Kyle Fuller? Would the Broncos have been willing to eat some money for you to be able to trade for a player of that caliber? Would have been a rental. He's a veteran guy. He hasn't had a good year, but it might have made you a little bit deeper. Would that have been worth a mid-round pick, say a fourth-round pick? Again, the finances make that difficult. The Broncos had just eaten a lot of money on Von Miller's contract to trade him to the LA Rams. So maybe they weren't willing to do that. Somebody like Joe Hayden, again, he would be a rental. He's a veteran guy. I'm not sure he's a great scheme fit, but should you have made a move and try to make a trade with a potential AFC playoff contender? That one sounds unlikely to me as well, just because it's within the conference. So really difficult, I think, for the Patriots to add. And now they just have to hope that what they have is good enough. And part of what they have is a pass rush. And that brings us back to the Rob Ninkovich discussion, because if you're lacking in coverage, you hope you can make up for that with getting after the quarterback. The Patriots certainly did that against the Chargers last weekend. Matt Judon, Christian Barmore had huge games. We're going to talk to Ninkovich about both those guys, as well as Josh Uche. So a couple of young guys in there, second-year player in Uche, first-year player in Barmore. We want to figure out what Ninkovich thinks of these guys. Nobody in the region knows pass rushing better than Ninkovich. And so let's bring him on right now. We're actually going to look at some film as well. So if you're joining us on the YouTube, first of all, thanks so much for joining us on the YouTube. The interaction there has been great. The numbers there have been phenomenal. So leave us a comment, leave us a question. We get back to as many of those as we can throughout the week once those things are posted. But if you're watching us, you'll be able to watch some of the All-22 film of these guys rushing Justin Herbert from last week, and you'll get some commentary from Rob Ninkovich as well. Let's get right to it with Ninko. All right, we've got our guy, Rob Ninkovich. Welcome to Next Pats, my friend. Welcome back to Next Pats. It's a reunion podcast here this afternoon.
Philip, it's been a while. Happy to be here.
It has been a while. Two-time Super Bowl champ and one Super Bowl season covered with NBC Sports Boston as a co-host of the program formerly known as Monday Night Patriots. We also did a podcast every week. It was a beautiful thing. And we've gone our separate ways now, and that's okay. I just feel like it's made our affection for one another even stronger.
Yeah, I mean, I have missed our connection on our podcast. But you know what? Maybe we'll have a reunion at some point. That wouldn't be something that would be crazy, considering it was probably the best podcast I ever have ever been a part of. Me and you and the chemistry that we had in the casino. You know, we were taping. The casino, there were people, you know, coming in there with their Werther originals in their pocket, sitting down playing the slots. You know, it's very nice.
It was a good time. We had some real characters there. You were always good about giving me a hard time for what I'm wearing, but I feel like I'm thoroughly outclassing you today. I'm going full professor on you with the sweater and the rolled up button down underneath. You look like you could be going to work out, which good for you. Godspeed. But I'm just like, I feel like I'm taking it next level for next pass.
Yeah. You know, when you're over 250 pounds, you can't rock two shirts. Like you can't wear a collared shirt and then a sweater. It just doesn't, it doesn't work that way. So
are you a sweaty enough human that it would actually maybe show through the sweater?
I just don't think I would look like somewhat of a just stuffed turkey. I wouldn't put it together nicely. I would just look uncomfortable. And I run hot too. So any type of layering, I know it's starting to become chilly. And this morning we had some frosts on the vehicles, but I'm a minimalist when it comes to clothing.
Okay. This is a great transition because when it comes to stuffed turkey, that's what I would call the Chargers right tackle Storm Norton Sunday against Matt Judon. We bring you in as our pass rush specialist because, as you well know, doing great work for the worldwide leader ESPN. We've also got the Dan and Ninko pod, and I hope he's not listening to this because the praise you just threw upon our pod from a few years ago may make him feel a little bit jealous, but hopefully he could just skip right over that. The reason I want to ask you about pass rush today, Rob, is because the trade deadline is come and gone. I have said for a while now that I'm not sure the Patriots are deep enough in the secondary, especially with Gilmore gone and Jonathan Jones out, to be where they want to be by the end of the year. It's just a really important position, that cornerback spot. But now they haven't really added anybody. And so to me, the next logical step is, okay, well, is their pass rush good enough to make their secondary look competent enough to get to where they want to be? What have you thought of the Patriots pass rush thus far? Because Matt Judon is sort of like a house of fire.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've done a good job, but they need to be better. You can't just rely on one person. You see it every week. There's going to be moving parts in a defense, especially as you go through the season or about halfway done. And yes, Judon has been a good football player for the Patriots, and other people that are in those roles, the Kyle Vannoys, the Uches, you know, I know Winovich is gone, but maybe he comes back. It's the more the merrier when it comes to pass rushing, and the more chemistry that you can build with the other guys around you, because let's face it, the Patriots aren't just a beat the guy in front of you defense. They've never been that way. It's more of a scheme on how they rush the looks of where the protection is going, where the slide is, where the center and the mic points are. You know, if you're on a back, you know, if the slide is to you, if they're doing Packer protection, which is a full slide, and then the back goes opposite to pick up the end of the line guy. The misplay by the Chargers would have been the backside tight end flashing back to try and block the outside backer, which is always the stupidest thing you could ever do as an offense, to try to put a tight end on a outside linebacker. But, you know, hey, there are geniuses out there that are making 10 year as head coaches and coordinators, so I guess they're the smartest guys in the room. So when it comes to just rush in general, I think that the more time that the team is spending together and they're coming together chemistry wise, they're going to be better as the season progresses. I don't necessarily think that they have to go get a pass rusher. I also think in the world we live in today, there's a high price tag for pass rushers. So you have to either go pay a lot of money for them or you have to luck out and get one in the draft. Other teams aren't just willing to give away decent pass rushers. That's just not how it works. So you're going to have to give up a lot to get a true pass rusher. I honestly think they should try and go get Odell Beckham, because if you add Odell to the offense, I think that it helps them a lot. It helps them drastically. It helps the young quarterback. It helps your running game. It helps your other receivers. He's definitely available. I think he would be available. It looks like he could move, and he probably wouldn't be as costly as, say, a pass rusher. That's just my take on it. You add Odell to the offense. I know people are going to say, what are you talking about, Odell? You know, I don't think Odell's an issue. I think Odell plays hard. I think he just wants the football like any receiver does. They just want to catch the ball. They want the ball thrown to them. And we've seen Mac Jones spread the ball out so much in the last 3 weeks. He's going to get his touches, and he's going to be happy with being with a team that has Bill Belichick as your head coach. Because I think in the past, when you're playing for other coaches that are, you know, not there very long, and then a constant change in the position, you're having a new head coach every couple of years, a new coordinator every couple of years, there's some stability here when it comes to Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Sorry, I jumped onto that tangent.
I like it.
I think I like it. Going to be okay. I think they're fine. I think that they're going to continue to be better as the season progresses, come together and start just to learn what goes well together, what packages work and what packages don't. And you just kind of start thinning out things that don't work. Okay, that doesn't work. Throw it away. What does work? Okay, let's keep this consistent group together and let's continue to try and build this thing, because it's not a November thing. You're not going to be the same team in November that you want to be at the end of December. So, you know, they have everything in front of them right now at 4-4. They can go and still win the division. They definitely can. And right now it's a one team division. You know, you look at Miami, the Jets, nope. So it's just a one team division. It's between them and the Bills. That's it.
I look at it the same way. And so I like where your head's at. You're thinking outside the box, because I'm thinking, okay, no secondary help added before the deadline. Trade deadline is coming gone. Now you can't deal for anybody, you know, whether it's Kyle Fuller in Denver or one of these guys in Houston, if Houston was going to try to sell off some parts. And so I'm looking at it now and I'm like, okay, they've got Judon. I'm not really sure what else they have in terms of pass rushing. You're saying, well, the best thing for their team might just be to add a receiver. I guess that helps your defense in terms of keeps them off the field, might keep them a little bit fresher. You've been on some teams where you've added some big personalities, especially at that position. Odell Beckham's a big personality. It's a little bit different team now than when you were there. I'm not sure, you know, when you don't have Tom Brady, maybe it makes it a little bit harder to get guys to assimilate. But do you think Odell Beckham's personality would be difficult to bring into the Patriots locker room midseason?
I don't think so. I think that the league and the NFL humbles people really quickly. And the quickest way to be humbled is to have an ACL injury or to have something career almost altering, to where then you really realize, well, man, I just love playing this game. I just want to go out here and win. You don't have many years to make somewhat of a career that's reflecting a successful career. If Odell Beckham's career ended today, I would possibly say the only thing that he brought was a one-handed catch and made a lot of money. That's it. So you as a player, and I could just say it from experience, you just want to have some substance to your career. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money. And, you know, there's a lot of people outside of football. I realize this. They make a lot more money than football players. But what's the one thing that they can't buy? That's a Super Bowl ring. That's something that nobody can ever go out and purchase. A lot of people can buy nice cars. A lot of people can have a nice house somewhere on the beach, but nobody can buy a Super Bowl ring, and nobody can put your name on a Lombardi for the rest of your life. So I think that as your career progresses, and maybe Odell's in this spot right now where he just wants to be on a team that has a good history and a winning history and have a chance to put himself in a position to play in a big game, in a playoff game. You know, the Browns, Baker isn't the guy. You know, You put Mac Jones in on the Browns right now, I think they're a better football team, honestly. And Mac Jones, to me, as a rookie, has been the best rookie of all the rookies drafted. If you take into account where he was at, you know, his completion percentage, his ability to dissect defenses, his ability to put the team in the right spot, and his ability to overcome. One of my more impressive things that I've seen this year from Mac Jones is mental toughness. You go throw an interception, right? That basically seals the deal to a game. You come back the next play, you throw a touchdown pass. Like, you have to have a very, very short memory on, okay, I just threw an interception. We were winning this football game. Now we're losing. A lot of guys go the opposite direction. They do that. They make that play. They can't go out there. They can't function, and they can't throw a touchdown pass on their next play. Just doesn't happen. So those are things that I have been encouraged with Mac Jones. I was high on Mac Jones in the offseason. I was high on Mac Jones during training camp. I'm still high on Mac Jones. I think that he has the recipe for being a great leader, because he looks like a guy that's never content. And when I say never content, he throws a touchdown pass. He's not jumping around and hooting and hollering. He's just running off in the sideline, sitting down and looking in his book. Yeah, he's just looking at the plays. When he makes a mistake, he's mad about it. He's hitting himself in the head. He's clapping his hands. I missed him. He's mad. That's what I want to see. So I really think that Mac Jones having maybe one more weapon that is a vertical threat that can run a lot of great routes, intermediate routes, that helps your tight ends that you paid a lot of money for, that helps your other receivers that maybe aren't true number one receivers. That's the one thing I think the Patriots are missing, are a true number one receiver, just flat out number one.
Right.
They have guys that seem like they're all twos. They're great twos. They're good players. I love every one of them. I do. But I think they don't have a number one, a guy where you got to say, we have to double this guy on every player, we're going to be killed. They just don't have.
It would make their offense more functional. I think it just gives you another player that safeties would have to worry about. It opens things up more for those tight ends, like you said. Or, you know, we know Mac Jones has been quick to check down, which has been one of the better parts of his game. But maybe those, you know, you have a little bit more room for yak, you know, if you have Odell Beckham on the field. So I think it's a great point by you. It'd be really interesting if he's released. So they can't trade him obviously now, but if Odell Beckham's released, he would be subject to waivers, but I'm not sure he'd get picked up, because if you pick him up, you get his contract too. So you'd be responsible for about $8 million for this year. What you want to do if you want Odell Beckham is see him get released, watch him go all the way through waivers unclaimed. Then the contract goes away. Then maybe you can sign him to a team friendly contract and you can get him maybe in New England on the cheap. I think that would be really interesting if they'd be able to pull that off.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know, with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
But before we get into all the machinations of Odell Beckham even further, I do want to show some. You're a film guy. You're a football guy at heart. You love talking ball. I know that about you. So I want to show you some clips. We got some pass rushing clips. And I just want to get your take quickly on these. We've got a couple with Matt Judon, one with Christian Barmore, a couple Josh Uche's. This is the next Pats podcast, Rob. So we love talking about the draft when it's off season. But we love talking about young players in season. And so Uche has been a guy that we've talked about quite a bit, and I had high hopes for Uche, and he's been better the last couple of games, but he went a stretch there, you know, weeks, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. I think he only had one pressure in 25, 30 some odd snaps. So I want to get your take on him, what you think of him. But first, let's look at Judon. And first, I'm going to share my screen here. This is Judon. Okay. So this is not his sack where he just came off the edge untouched.
Backs away from him. Okay. He's got a nasty split.
Nasty close. Split means tight to the formation, right? Yeah, the tight end has a little bit of a nasty split.
Yeah. Like you got to be aware it doesn't like chip you, you know? Right. So you just
got to a lot of.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah. So sometimes you use the offensive lineman to get you that low. So the offensive lineman pulls him down into it. If the offensive lineman wasn't on his back, he would probably almost get to the quarterback, but he pulls him down. That possibly is a holding call right there, honestly.
But, he could probably have had multiple of those during the game. But is it so that's not what has impressed you most about his athleticism, Judon's? Because it seems like he's just consistently in there, but I don't see him. It's not necessarily speed, or is it? You tell me what's been allowing him to win.
Like when you're a guy on the edge, especially that side, you have to be aware of where the quarterback is because that's the scramble lane. So on that particular play, he gives a good stutter step to get the offensive lineman to stop his feet and gets on an edge, and he beats the offensive lineman on the edge. Just can't keep his balance because the offensive lineman is doing whatever it takes to pull him down. But I think it's just, you know, consistency. And when you're out there and you're playing, you're bound to get home if you're consistent. So it's guys that are inconsistent that they're a flash in a pan. Well, if they don't flash, then they don't get there. If you're consistent, you might be blocked a few times, you know, pass rush. If you get there 1 out of 10 times, you're doing good, you know? Right. So you just have to be consistent. You just have to make sure you don't have any shutouts. So, you know, for motor,
right? I mean, like it's more than that, I know. And I think you would get a little bit irked by people who would say, oh, high motor guy, because you were somebody who had real pass rush moves and athleticism and could get after the quarterback. But I think both you guys were hard workers on the field, which is not a slight.
Like I'm more impressed with pass rushes than, you know, offensive scheme mistakes. So, you know, if you put a tight end, like, for example, I'm nothing against anything that Judon has done. I think he's done a terrific job. But, you know, a few of his sacks, the Saints put Taysom Hill on him to block him. Like, come on. If Taysom Hill tried to block me right now, that's not going to happen. You know, they flash backside tight end to go and block, or they flash over the running back to block or pass rusher. If a tight end or running back blocks you, you're wrong. You're not. You should win every single time. So, you know, in this game, they had a actual error on the blocking scheme and they didn't block him. They just did not block Judon. So if you don't block the guy, thank you. Perfect. I'm going to get home. I'm going to make the play. But I like to watch pass rush. I like to see your best against their best because they're paying these tackles a lot of money to. So this right here is a hammer go. So I know exactly what that is. You hammer
so,
the
end. So we tell the people who are using the audio version, this is the Barmore sack where he basically fights through a hold. They both meet at the quarterback and they each get a half sack. It's really more of a Barmore play, I would think, right, Rob?
It's a hammer go. So the nasty split of the tight end that's right there. So he's in line for you to hit him. So you tell that three technique, get up the field and go. You get up the field, you hit the guy. So they're just running a me game, basically. See how the guard got beat? The tackle's eyes are inside now. So Judon is just going to fill into the A gap right there. Quarterback's right in his lap. Phil, you could do that. You could do that play. That all comes down to.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, Phil, that play right there is the three technique. So
That's Barmore.
Barmore splits in a three technique, gets vertical, takes the guard and the tackle with him, and then Judon is in for free. I mean, sometimes it's that easy. That's the best part about it. When you have a three technique, which does a great job of sitting, the initial step for the guard sits him down, then he gets on an edge, and then he's passed him. He beat him. So once he beats him, Judon right now, all he has to do, that's like a running back. Now Judon's just a running back. He's looking
for
a
space. Yeah,
that's all he's doing. So you're looking for the hole. The quarterback right now can't go out of the pocket because he's going to get sacked. he has to step up into the pocket. And then when he steps up, boom, you're right there to fill.
Barmore has been really impressive. And I just feel like I don't know what it is about his game. Quickness, strength, I think he is both. He's not like the most physical. It's not like he's Richard Seymour out there with crazy length, or, you know, he's not Aaron Donald either. But, you know, I think in terms of like the total package, he's been pretty disruptive, pretty consistently, especially for a young guy.
Yeah, those interior guys don't have to be the Seymours. Those are like, you know, hard to find. If you're quick, you have short area quickness. That's what can really help you out, especially against guards who aren't very long anyway. They're about the same height. So usually when you have a guy that's quicker, quickness wins.
This is Uche here, Rob. I want to get your take on Uche because he's a little bit smaller edge guy for the Patriots. I think he's listed right at 250, but I don't know if he's quite there. He hasn't played a ton on early downs. You know, he seems like sort of a pass rush specialist guy for them for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really athletic. I remember talking to people about him before the draft, before the Patriots even took him, and he had been hurt. He got hurt at the Senior Bowl. I talked to a couple of scouts that were basically saying, if this guy wasn't hurt, he would have tested and put up some crazy numbers at the combine, which is what it is, but that can help you. And he might've been a first round pick is what they were saying. But what do you see when you see Uche get after the quarterback here? We have a couple pressures, I think, from Sunday's game.
I see a guy with good quickness, good leverage. So that right there, that's a good bull rush. Gets underneath the tackles, pads, gets him on skates. And when number one rule when you get them on skates is don't stop. What's the point of stopping until they anchor, which when they anchor, you can feel them sit their weight down. That's when you transition to the edge or the inside. Once you get them in this position, his feet get tangled up with the guard. Sometimes when their feet get tangled up, you can put them right on their back, just like that. So you want to get them entangled with the guard. You want to get, if they're on skates like that, the easiest thing to do is get them close to the guard. The guard steps on their foot, or the guard doesn't give them a chance to step. They can't anchor, and then they're right in the quarterback's lap. So that's a good pressure inside. This almost looks like a U game, but then the inside guy. So right now, that position right there, if the quarterback took off to his right, it'd be really hard for Uche to get out back outside. But with that pressure, see that foot right there? He's stepping on the guards. See how now he's going?
Yeah.
Now right down. So
now he's gone. Right.
He's gone right now. He's tripped. So for him to be able to keep pushing, my only concern with this would be like, don't get trapped there. Because if he doesn't get off, the quarterback can get out of the pocket. And the easiest way for a quarterback to throw is to his right, especially if you're right-handed. You get outside, and then that puts stress on your secondary. But that's perfect. You got the tackle couldn't sit. He tripped on his guard. Keep pushing him. Quarterback feels it, has to get the ball out of his hands.
So maybe, you know, good quickness there. It looked like he kind of faked outside, ends up going inside. But the coaching point might be, all right, just make sure you don't just lose make contain.
Sure. Yep.
So one more here for you, Nick, and we'll let you go. This is Uche. Now he's on the left side. And we'll see how he gets to Justin Herbert here.
So this one right here, I'll just tell you by the set. Don't hit play yet. This double mug in the A-gap right now. Yep. Okay, so the tackle is looking. So you see 71's eyes are in the A-gap on the guy in front of him, right?
Right.
7 is looking at that 3 technique. Sometimes what these guys do, which I think is stupid, they're so worried about the 3 technique. Well, because you have to be. You can't just let that guy rip up the field and get to the quarterback. They hand check with that guy. So though 70 is going to put his hand on the actual 3 technique, which slows him down to get to block the edge. So I don't know if you can see it right now, but if you get a great get off with a 3 technique right there, sometimes you can just get the edge instantly, because what they're trying to do is help that 3 technique with a hand placement for the guard. And then by the time they look back out to you, you're already on the edge. So you just rip the edge. Anytime I'd have, see that?
Oh see boy. That? Wow. It's exactly, you know, like you described it.
That's the easiest thing in the world. He's trying to help that 3 technique by hand, but put his hand in there. If you're the pass rusher and you have double mugs in the A gap and you have a 3 technique, I'm telling myself I'm getting off on the football, because I know he's going to try and help that guard. If he helps the guard, I'm winning. See that? He tried to help the guard, and then he just beat him on the edge clean. You can't get any easier than that. That's like just them letting you free. So go ahead, take it. If they're going to give it to you, go take it.
So it seems like they've done a pretty good job, or they did in this game at least, And Game Pass, thank you for your efforts. I mean, that was just, I've got a little bit of a headache trying to follow all that. Thank God you are the football mind that you are, because that was impossible for me. It feels like they've done a good job of getting one-on-ones for some of their good pass rushers. You know, you got to be expecting some of that stuff when you scheme up, say, hey, we're going to go, you know, double mug. We're going to have guys in the A gap. We're going to have a three technique too. That means, Josh, you're either basically not going to be blocked, or it's going to be a one-on-one for you. You've got to go win on third down. Like, that, is that something that, is that the kind of thinking that goes into starting a play with that kind of look?
Yeah, it's a chess match. So what are they going to do? Are they going to Packer? So Packer means a full slide. So the center, the guards, and the tackles all go one way, then the back goes the opposite way. So it's all numbers. It's a numbers game. So is it 6-on-6? Is it 5-on-6? Because with the double mug, you know that somebody has to account for the back. So say the back wide releases, right? The back's at home, or the back's in the gun, and you have a double mug. Well, either one of those guys has the running back, okay? So what you do is you tell the defensive end, like if it was Uche, hey, alert, we're inside. If he wide releases, when you're mugged like that, you can't get out there because you're going to get picked. You're going to hit one of your own teammates. You're not going to be able to get out there. So offensively, there's an issue there. So what do we do? Do we make this back go and protect, or do we have this back wide release and get out? Because we know the second he does that, if that end just rushes, I'm just going to dump it to him and hope that he gets 10 yards.
Easy yardage.
Easy yardage. So it's all within the chess match of, okay, is it even man? So you could do, okay, we're going to double mug the A gaps. We're going to read the center. If the center slides to me, I'm going to act like I'm going to come. I'm going to place my hands on him. The second my hands touch him, the guy next to me in the A gap is going to go, because the center's not looking at him. He's going to go. And then I'm going to pop out. So then the center's going to block me. I'm here. I pop out for coverage, and oh, the other guy's gone in the A gap. So that happens all the time. So it's the showing of the defense makes the offense have to make a decision. Do we play what the call was called? Do we just run it? Or do we check, 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 kill, kill, kill? Do we change the whole thing? And sometimes with a young quarterback, I know Herbert's decent, but he's still young. He's in his second year. Sometimes they can't adjust to it. So they don't realize, oh, we got a double mug. They have one more than we can block. We'll just run it. No. So then the offensive line has to talk. Then your back has to know where to go. It's a big chess match. So the Patriots are very good at understanding, how do we make our front dictate what the offense has to do to block us? And if they don't change anything, let's go out here and let's execute. Let's go play and let's get to the quarterback and have an interception, just like happened. Just like what happened.
I love this guy. Love this guy talking ball, because we get a big brain on the podcast like this. We get to learn a little bit about football. It helps us as reporters cover the game a little bit better and maybe a little bit more soundly. Execute on our end. You guys talk about execution all the time. We got to execute too. And you're in the media space now, you know, just as well as anybody.
Just like in the block punts, like even in the block punts that happened to the Patriots this year, usually what happens in a block punt, right? Somebody's trying to help somebody else, right? Just like the play we just watched, the tackle's trying to help the guard. But when you try to do that, you create space. And that's where that space is, where you can get in there and make a play. Just like in the block punt, the tackle's trying to help the guard. The wing sets back, and then you have a massive hole for someone to go up and under and then block the punt. That's just like offensive line. Everybody has to move together. You know, if one guy does this and the other guy does that, well, then there's your space. If you all do this together, then you're stacking firewood.
Last question, because we have to go. We have 30 seconds. Matt Judon can be who in this defense? You play with a lot of outside linebackers, pass rushers in this defense. I need a comp, just a name for Judon, and I need one for Uche in terms of like what they could be, not what they are necessarily right now.
Could be. Judon could be like Chandler, like multiple sacks a year consistently.
How about Uche?
Uche reminds me, you know what? I really don't have a comparison for Uche, because he's a little bit of a wild card when it comes to the typical defense that the Patriots would run. You know, just talking about myself, I was probably 265 when I played.
Right.
The game has changed. It's a little bit different, but you know, at 245, there really hasn't been a 245 pound guy that's every down player. So until he can reach an every down player category, it's hard for me to like really put a pinpoint comparison on when he's not really, when the amount of plays there doesn't give me enough sample size to really look at how he plays the first early downs, the run, and then transitions into the pass.
I like that. Listen, you're a veteran guy. You say, hey, young buck, we've got no comp for you just yet. You got to prove it. I like that. Rob Ninkovich, thank you so much for being on Next Pass, making us smarter, my friend.
All right. Have a good one.
Just a lot of fun to have our guy Rob Ninkovich on with us, and a loaded, loaded interview there. We go from the Patriots needing to get Odell Beckham on their roster to what the Patriots look like on tape when they're rushing the passer, Matt Judon, Josh Uche, Christian Barmore, how they're helping each other, how they're scheming up some one-on-ones to get into opposing backfields. They're going to have to continue to do that maybe to help their secondary, which isn't as talented or as deep as it has been in years past. Patriots also might just have to plain change the kind of coverages that they play. They played a lot of zone against the Chargers. They have two really good weapons there. So maybe that was the plan of attack for that week. Maybe this week, where DJ Moore is really their one true big-time threat at the receiver spot. Robbie Anderson has had a horrible year. So maybe you could just stick JC Jackson on DJ Moore, and you feel good about your matchups man-to-man across the board after that. And so maybe the Patriots get back to being a man-to-man team. I actually looked at the schedule just to see, because again, I'm looking at this number two cornerback spot for the Patriots and thinking, okay, this could be an issue down the line, as we talked about off the top of the show. But look at their schedule for the regular season. You have the Panthers and DJ Moore. Then you have the Browns, and we've already talked about how Beckham is probably out of there. Jarvis Landry is closer to the end than the beginning. They're really not all that talented at receiver. The Falcons are without their best receiver, it looks like, indefinitely, and hopefully he gets well soon, Calvin Ridley, but he's out of the mix now for that Thursday night game. The Titans have some studs, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. The Bills have some studs, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. The Colts, you tell me who's playing receiver for the Colts in December, because that is the epitome of a question mark right now. The Jags have Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, not exactly a murderer's row at that position. And the Dolphins are pretty talented there with Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker. So that could be a matchup issue, but we just listed the remainder of the Patriots regular season schedule. And there are, I guess, the Bills, they have to play them twice. So Titans, Bills, Dolphins. So that's four games remaining on their schedule where you have two true top end boundary type receivers that could give the Patriots issues, but it's not like it's a weekly sort of problem. I think if the schedule shook out a little bit differently, it might look tougher, but the schedule may help them as far as their corner depth is concerned, so long as everybody can stay healthy. Late breaking news, JC Jackson, as we're taping this, was not spotted at Wednesday's Patriots practice. So we'll have to monitor his status moving forward. Obviously, that's the last thing the Patriots need, is to be missing another corner, especially their best corner. But thanks again to Rob Ninkovich for providing us some info, what this Patriots team up front is looking like, and maybe even looking like for the future. How about those comps for Matt Judon, Chandler Jones? That's a guy Rob Ninkovich knows really, really well. Very tight with Chandler Jones, and he has all kinds of respect for Chandler Jones and the work that they were able to do together on the New England Patriots. So for him to put Judon in that category, very high praise. And it's TBD, it sounds like, for Rob Ninkovich on Josh Uche, though he showed some promise in LA. That's it for the Next Pats podcast, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Please, please, please rate, comment, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. We appreciate you on the YouTube. We appreciate you on the audio side. We're going to be right back at it next week with another Next Pats podcast. So we'll talk to you then.